show you good news, everyone. Don't you know, do you see onions?
Welcome to 20th Century Boy. My name's Radio Mike. And this is the inside of my mind. Sorry, guys, I just thought of something really funny there for a sec. Anyway, that's not important. Welcome back to the podcast, episode 25. And I guess I'm, for some reason, treating every fifth episode like it's a milestone episode. But eventually you can't do that because that's a milestone every 5 weeks, which isn't really a milestone anymore. I think 25 is the last milestone ep until 50, surely. But I don't know. All the episodes are worth listening to. Seriously, go back and check them out. You'll bloody love them. But since this is the 25th episode, we have a lot of segments on this show. We've got a plethora of segments. I think you'd agree, Editor Mike's here. He's my editor on the podcast. I think you'd agree we have a plethora of segments. Mike, yeah, we've got a plethora of segments. So many segments, an absolute plethora.
Yeah.
We've got a plethora of segments, like just so many segments.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said, a plethora of segments. This is so many segments.
Yeah, exactly, a plethora. And a few of them, including one of our most popular segments, Harry Potter and the Boys, have not been heard for a while. Harry Potter and the Boys has been away for 2 weeks now, so we're definitely getting back into that. And we're also going to be doing Pokemon Strayer Edition and Rhyme Crime today. So it's going to be a busy, busy show. Editor Mike's here, of course. Intern Mike, you're here as well. My intern on the show. Lovely, polite young chap. He's smiling at me. Don't get embarrassed, mate. And he's 14 years old. He sits in every week. How are you, mate?
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, no, I'm pretty good. Like, it's school holidays at the moment, but I've got to do, like, holiday homework, which I'm struggling with. And holiday homework's pretty bullshit because, holiday literally means break from work. Like, holly is Latin for break and day is Latin for work. So holiday literally means break work in Latin.
I don't think any of that's true. I think you just made that up off the top of your head. I'll just have to take your word for it, I guess. But I think you've just made that up. What? Why are you struggling with the holiday homework, though?
Oh, I've got this history assignment. It's really hard. And I'm not doing too well with it. And it's due on the first day back.
What do you have to do for the history assignment?
Well, we've got to make a shield.
What do you mean?
We've got to, like, make a shield.
What does that mean, make a shield?
Well, we're doing medieval history at the moment. And one of the assignments is we have to, like, make a shield.
Like out of cardboard or out of, like, wood? Like, how do you make a shield?
Well, a lot of people, yeah, are getting their dads to help. And, like, they're making them out of wood and stuff. But I don't really know how to use wood. I don't really know how to use tools and stuff. So I'm just doing mine out of paper. Like, I'm just cutting it out and sticking it on and laminating it. But, yeah, it's really hard, though, because, yeah.
But how do you, like, what does that teach you? Like, why do you have to make a shield?
Well, yeah, because we're doing medieval history and, like, you've got to, like, research shields and stuff and find a shield that you want to make, and then you've got to make it. So I'm doing like a Viking shield, which is like a circle shield from like the 1550s or something.
Okay, well, that sounds like a pretty stupid assignment that's less about history and more about woodworking and like design and stuff. Like, would you have to paint it?
Yeah, like I don't think I'm going to get a good mark for just laminating it, but yeah.
Seriously, guys, I actually had this assignment in year 8 history and I just remembered it like randomly just then. And I just thought it'd be funny if intern Mike was doing it right now.
What do you mean? I am doing it. What do you mean? Like, you thought it would be funny?
Yeah, no, sorry, man. I just had this really weird mind gap for a second. Guys, I want to start off with a very old segment on the show, because on this show, and it hasn't appeared for a while, we have a catchphrase. You gotta be shitting me. It started with my friend Tom, aka T-Money. That's what he calls himself. He would always respond to things with, "You gotta be shitting me," which is like, "Oh, you're joking." And for a while, we were featuring "You gotta be shitting me" from you, the people of the show, the radio family. But eventually, we had our first celebrity, "You gotta be shitting me," from Chris Evans, aka Captain America in Avengers Endgame. Probably the biggest film of this year. He appeared on the show to talk about it, but we're moving on to something even bigger. Well, probably not bigger, but still in the same ballpark. Because Stranger Things Season 3 just launched and, well, I think it's about time we do this.
You gotta be shitting me.
You gotta be shitting me.
I gotta be shitting me.
You have got to be shitting me.
This is You Gotta Be Shitting Me of the Week. Now with 100% less intern Mike.
you don't know Stranger Things, first of all, you're a fucking idiot. It's probably one of the hottest TV shows in the world at the moment and has been for the past 2 years or so. It's about a bunch of kids who, one of them has superpowers, and it's a sci-fi, it's set in the 80s. It's really good. It's actually a great show. I'm just about done with season 3, which I've enjoyed a lot, but I think season 1 and 2 were better. But I'm still excited for there to be a season 4. What do you guys think? Have you watched it? Let me know on the socials. But in episode 2 of season 3 of Stranger Things, the character of Max, and, you know, not one of the key characters, not one of the main... It's not a Mike or an Eleven or like a Dustin saying this. Max is... She came in season 2. She's certainly not the main character in the show, but she says this.
Old men gotta be shitting me.
So not only has this podcast been listened to by Chris Evans and everyone at Disney Marvel PTYLTD, but everyone at Netflix and Stranger Things is also across the podcast and writing You Gotta Be Shitting Me into the script, which is fantastic. Shout out as well to Radio Christina with a K. Welcome back to the radio family. Have 50 mic points. She DM'd me on Instagram during the week, almost like right after I saw this, and she said, "It seems the show's catchphrase is spreading. Second episode of the new season of Stranger Things, and we have a You Gotta Be Shitting Me. Hell yeah, I'm going to binge the whole thing tonight." Thanks, Radio Christina with a K. Great minds think alike. So that is this week's You Gotta Be Shitting Me of the Week. What do you think of Stranger Things, intern Mike?
Just another one of those things that I'm not allowed to do. I'm not allowed to watch it. I'm not allowed to, like, interact with it or even talk about it. Mum grounded me once because I asked one of my friends if it was good. So, yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, that sucks. That sounds shit. Moving forward with the podcast, because I wanted to... over the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about video game soundtracks, and I just realized there's one track that I completely forgot about, which is such a gem, and it's this track from a game called Civilization 4, which was basically this real-time strategy game on computer where you build cities and you build, like, an army and you go and invade enemy territory and stuff like that. Really fun game, and the main theme of this game is this song called Baba Yetu, which I think is like a Swahili hymn, like some hymn in a different language, and it's a great song. It's really like spiritual, it's really nice. I'll put a little bit of it in the background so you can just have a listen to it. Now, I used to play this game a lot with my friend Tom T-Money, who is the guy who created You Gotta Be Shitting Me, the catchphrase of this podcast. And when I first introduced You Gotta Be Shitting Me to the podcast weeks and weeks ago, this is what happened.
Actually, I know for a fact, like, if I ring Tom right now, within the first 10 seconds, he will say You Gotta Be Shitting Me. I guarantee it. I'm going to call him right now. I'll put a timer in the background. I guarantee he's going to say it.
Hello?
Hey, man, it's Mike. How are you?
Yeah, good, man. What are you?
Good. I'm just doing a podcast.
Like right now?
Yeah, I'm recording it right now.
Oh, You Gotta Be Shitting Me. Turn my life on the podcast. You shit me.
Okay, bye, Tom.
So T-Money was saying You Gotta Be Shitting Me so much that I was so confident he was going to pick up the phone and say that at some point within the first, like, 20 seconds. And like I said, T-Money and I would always play Civilization 4 together in the summer holidays. We'd just sit inside. The main theme, as I played before, I guess the start of the song, the starting lyrics, I'm going to play it for you, sounds like this. And I just remember I didn't talk about it in the video game soundtracks episode, but I should have, because it basically, I used to play the game and I didn't know that Tom had the game and played the game and liked the game as well. But once at school, I just randomly started singing the song and I was just like, Baba Yetu Yetu Yeti Do Me, and I just started singing it like that. And Tom just joined in. Baba Yetu Yetu. And I was like, oh, do you play Civilization 4? And he was like, yeah, it's awesome. And that's when we started playing it together, like all the summer holidays and stuff. We used to like hang out and play Civilization. But over the course of our friendship, pretty much every time, if I just randomly start singing that song, Tom will just completely happily join in midway through. And it hasn't happened for a long time, but I am so confident that it's going to happen that I'm going to do a random call to him right now. Not going to say anything. I'm just going to start singing the Baba Yetu song, and I'm just going to see if he joins in. I'm so confident he will. End of the mic, do you have the number there?
Yeah, let's give him a shot. This sounds like a little bit of fun. Let's do it.
Hopefully he picks up. I'm recording this at like 10 p.m.
Hello?
Baba Yetu Yetu Yepinduli Yetu Yetu Mamina Baba Yetu Yetu Yepinduli Yetu Yetu Babuswe Bayetu Yetu Yepindina Reporeti Bamina Baba Yetu Yetu Yetindino La Babeni Babisa. Thanks, man. See you later. Do you want to know what it was about? Or
yeah, no, I'm interested.
Well, I'm not going to tell you. Bye. And there you have it. I don't know. I just thought that was funny. And since we were talking a lot about video game soundtracks in the past few episodes, I think that's a great song. So catchy. And it's just so fun to sing. Get a friend together and sing it with you. Did anyone else play Civilization 4? Let me know on the socials as usual. But, of course, last week on the show, we also introduced this. Hit it, editor mic.
Hey, 20th Century Boy presents 6 Billion Dollar Secret Sound Giveaway, brought to you by our sponsors, Fuck You, the best in the business at Fuck You. We want you to don't worry, you're never gonna guess it anyway, because we've deliberately made it too ambiguous.
We are doing a secret sound competition that you, the listener, could win $6 billion from. A few guesses came through, and here is the secret sound for those who may have missed it last week. We here in the studio think it's pretty fucking obvious what it is. We've had a few guesses in, though, and they are all incorrect. So continue sending your guesses via email, via Facebook, the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/20thCenturyBoy, whatever you want, wherever you want to submit an answer to this, because you could win $6 billion. We're going to reveal it either next week or the week after, though, so get your guesses in soon. One guess came in from Radio Sean. Welcome to the Radio family, Radio Sean. Have 10 mic points for this guess, even though it's incorrect, but he guessed it's a podcaster brushing his teeth while tapping the keys of his vintage typewriter played in reverse. Let's hear it again out of the mic. Yeah, it does sound a bit like that, but unfortunately that is incorrect. Disappointment Judman.
Disappointment Judman.
Disappointment Judman also commented in the Facebook group. He is currently banned from the podcast until next week. And he said, I know exactly what it is, but I'm not allowed to say because I'm banned. Well, Disappointment Judman.
Disappointment Judman.
Maybe we should get you on next week when your ban elapses and you can have a shot at the secret sound. If that's something that interests you, that would be great. But I'm not allowed to talk about you because you are banned from the podcast. Keep sending in your ideas for the secret sound. We want someone to get it. We want this $6 billion to go off. We want a winner on our hands. We want to give away some money, don't we, guys?
Yeah, we want to give away some money, Mike.
Yeah. What do you reckon, intern Mike? You want to give away some money?
Yeah, give away some money. I want to give it away. Give away $6 billion.
That's right. Let's keep it on going. And let's launch into this bad boy.
Pokemon Australia Edition. Mike creates Pokemon that can only be in Australia. Coming soon to your Nintendo DS. Also, fuck you.
So, Pokemon Australia Edition is this little group project we've been working on as the Radio Family, the listeners of this podcast, and we occasionally get guests on the show to help out. For example, Luke Kidgel, who came on episode 10 of this podcast, which feels like ages ago now, had this to say.
I was thinking like one called like with the dingo, like yeah. Just Dingolingus.
So he created the Pokemon Dingolingus, and on episode 21 of this podcast, Lewis Spears brought in one of his friends, Margaret Summersby, and I was meaning to address this earlier, but Margaret Summersby said this.
Boomeroo!
Boomeroo!
Yes! It's a kangaroo mix with a boomerang! We've actually already got a Pokemon called Wallaboom. He's a Wallaby. What's okay? Well, Boomeroo can be another one.
So she wanted to create a Pokemon Boomeroo, and I kind of knew that I think we had done something vaguely similar to that, because like just as an example, some of the Pokemon we had were like Ukoala, we had who's like a eucalyptus koala, Platypuddle, Platypus, Puddle, water type, and Kangaworks. And Kangaworks was a kangaroo and Fireworks, and they were the three starter Pokemon of the Australian Pokemon theme. And Kangaworks actually evolved into Boomeroo, who then evolved into Wallaboom. And it was following this fire pattern of explosions and fireworks. So I've accidentally approved Margaret Summersby's choice of Boomeroo, which is a boomerang and a kangaroo. So it's a kangaroo with a boomerang on its face. And she also said this about Boomeroo.
Boomeroo is the Evolution X.
I don't know what Evolution X is, but it's not the Evolution X. I've decided that basically Kangaworks, the fire starter Pokemon in Pokemon Australia Edition, can evolve into both Boomeroo, the fireworks version, or Boomeroo, the boomerang version, which is Margaret Summersby's suggestion. And the boomerang version becomes fire ground type, and it also then evolves into Wallarang as opposed to Wallaboom. So it's a branched evolution path for Boomeroo, and that's how we get around that problem. So there's two Boomeroos, Boomeroo fireworks version and Boomeroo boomerang version. And how does Kangaworks evolve? So if you give Kangaworks a firework, it'll evolve into boom. There's basically in Pokemon, there's items you can give your Pokemon. If you give Kangaworks a firework, it'll evolve into Boomeroo firework version. And if you give it a boomerang, it'll evolve into Boomeroo boomerang version. That's pretty much it. And that's the way we're going to get around that. Also, an email came in from Radio Eli. Welcome to the Radio Family, Radio Eli, but you're definitely part of it. You've contributed to the show before. Have 20 my coins for this. He said, hey man, I know it's been a while since I did any Pokemon drawings. He actually did a drawing of Wallaboom, the fire kangaroo Pokemon I spoke about earlier. I've been keeping up with the podcast, finally had some free time this weekend and decided to quickly knock out this idea I've been saving. Essentially, it's the Machop Pokemon line, but as thongs for Pokemon Australia version. Haven't thought of names, but their signature moves could be Thong Slap, or for the Machamp one, Double Plugger. Keep up the good work, man. Thursday is always a good day at work when I pop on your podcast to make time go a bit quicker. On a side note, the ep you did a few weeks back about gaining weight really hit home with me. I know exactly how you feel. I think that was episode 20. Thanks, man. Thanks for the feedback. He has sent in a picture of these Thong Machop style Pokemon. Let's just call them, in Pokemon there's Machop, Machoke, and Machamp. Let's just call them Thong Chop, Thong Choke, and Thong Champ. I'll post this picture he's made in the Facebook group, so it should be there now when you're listening to this podcast, so go have a look at it. It's really funny. And they can be water fighting type, because like they're thongs and you'd wear them at the beach, and then Machop, Machoke, and Machamp are fighting type. So there we go. That's Pokemon Australia Edition. Always feel free to send in your Australian themed Pokemon to this podcast so we can create the ultimate Australian Pokedex. And now for another returning segment that seems to be more popular than I thought it was going to be. Like, people seem to really like these. And again, keep submitting these in. It's about time we do this bad boy.
Radio Mike's Rhyme Crime.
Rhyme Crime is a segment on this show where we expose musical artists for their rhyme crimes. A rhyme crime is where an artist uses the same word twice as a rhyme. We had Eminem who rhymed this.
Cause I am whatever you say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am? In the paper, the news, every day I am. I don't know, it's just the way I am.
That's a quadruple rhyme crime where he's rhymed the word am. He went to rhyme jail for 1 year, so he couldn't release a new song for a year. I actually hate the smugness of Eminem in that. Like, I just realized he laughs at you after he commits the rhyme crime. Like, take a listen to this. He actually laughs in your face. He knows what he's doing.
The news every day I am.
It's like he's in the recording studio and he's just, like, looking outside at the producer. And he's like, hey, guys, they're not going to bloody notice this. Take a look at this. And he can't help bloody laughing. Taylor Swift also went to rhyme jail for a year for this rhyme crime in her newest song, Me.
I'm the only one of me. Baby, that's the fun of me.
And I do have a little problem with this because, Taylor Swift, you're in rhyme crime, but you recently put out a new song that's called You Need to Calm Down. If that was directed at me, you need to calm down because you're in rhyme jail, honey. You shouldn't be releasing any music for another year. Not sure. What do we do about this, guys? Taylor Swift is in rhyme jail for her rhyme crime, but she's still releasing music. Do we need to get her on the podcast to explain herself? I don't know. Let me know what you think we should do to Taylor Swift. Radio Jane Lamb. Welcome to the radio family, Radio Jane Lamb. She goes, hey, Radio Mike, love the podcast. I think Machine Gun Kelly deserves to go to rhyme jail. She then sends a screenshot of a song by Machine Gun Kelly. And to be fair, Radio Jane Lamb, I have literally never in my life heard of Machine Gun Kelly. Judging by his name, I just assume he's just a, I don't know, who calls themselves Machine Gun Kelly? But then again, I guess I've called myself a Radio Mike. Maybe he just really likes machine guns. I don't know. But I've looked up the song, and it is called El Diablo by Machine Gun Kelly. Jane Lamb says, due to the high volume of rhyme crimes committed in this song, each violation should equal 1 month in jail. And I've calculated that Machine Gun Kelly should spend the next 4 years in rhyme jail. I believe that's a just sentence for a heinous crime. Let's take a listen to the rhyme crime from Machine Gun Kelly's song El Diablo right here.
I shoot dice, yeah, gamble with my life, yeah. Knowing fights, yeah, keep my circle tight, yeah. All my hoes, yeah, keep that sugar spice, yeah. For the bros, yeah, I do nothing twice, yeah. I got a combination, knew a safe in the back of the bank that be storing my shit. Just had a conversation with a girl that I dated, now she out here whoring and shit. I got a reputation to be going and showing up 4 in the morning and shit. I had an altercation down in Florida, I threw his face on the Florida shit.
Yeah, look, Jane Lamb, I totally agree with you. This is a heinous rhyme crime. Like, the chorus, I shoot dice, yeah, gamble with my life, yeah. Like, there's 8 yeah rhymes there. That's disgusting. And then in the verse as well, shit, rhyming shit with shit, which is the shittest rhyme you could do. I think this is pathetic from Machine Gun, whatever his name is. And I certainly think he should go to rhyme jail. And I definitely am going to advocate for your sentence of 4 years. So that's sad for Machine Gun Kelly, who's not going to be doing any music for 4 years now. I guess he'll just have to go get a job at the shooting range, teach people how to use machine guns and stuff. God, his last album came out, well, his newest album just came out this week, according to Wikipedia. So I guess 4 years, like, he could spend that 4 years creating a masterpiece and then release it in 2023. So maybe he'll just do that. But Machine Gun Kelly, I hereby sentence you to 4 years in rhyme jail. Send in your rhyme crimes anytime, guys. We always want to hear them. And what do we want to talk about now? Oh, yeah. Quick detour for, like, the feature of the week. I went to see... I've been seeing tons of movies lately. I'm a big movie goer. Like, I don't really watch movies at home that much unless I'm, like, hanging out with friends, but I love going out to the movies, and I saw that new Yesterday movie that Radio Bailey, Radio Superstar Bailey, mentioned on the podcast last week.
Oh, my troubles seem so far away.
And I really liked it. So basically the premise of the film is that this guy wakes up one day pretty much and nobody remembers the Beatles. Like, suddenly the Beatles, like, never existed in this reality. And he's pretty confused at first, but then he decides, well, if the Beatles never existed, then why don't I just write all of their music as myself and release it and become, like, the world's best singer in the world. The world's best singer in the world, fuck. I become the world's best singer, just full stop. And and so he does that and becomes really famous, but as he becomes famous, he's, like, personal relationships and his love life starts to suffer and he's not really ready for everything like that. And one of the four Beatles makes an appearance, not like them in person, but like one of the four Beatles exists in this alternate reality and you meet them. I won't say who in case you want to see it because it's quite a nice like little reveal. But yeah, one of the Beatles is portrayed in the movie and sort of brings him, and obviously in this reality, that person never became one of the Beatles and never became famous, but is still living a happy and satisfied life. And that's kind of the message at the end. Like, one of the messages at the end of the movie was basically, you know, life isn't necessarily about being famous and successful. It's more about being happy, and a happy life is a successful life, which was some really good philosophy to take out of a movie, I think. And that's very much seems to be a thing with the Beatles. But not to mention, like, I've just been listening nonstop to so many Beatles songs and so much Beatles music, because I absolutely, like, I really like the Beatles. Some people are always like, oh, the Beatles are so overrated, like, fuck. But I don't know, I actually genuinely really like the Beatles and their music. I think that some of their songs are absolutely incredibly beautiful, poignant songs. Obviously, Yesterday, from which the film gets its title, is an incredible song.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away.
It's so simple and just so smooth and beautiful, and I really love it. Another great one, obviously, is Blackbird.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life.
And Dear Prudence is another ballad. Of course, you've got your standards, like you've got Hey Jude and Let It Be, which are absolute bangers, and they all pop up in the film. My personal favourite would probably have to be Help, which is almost like more of a fast-paced rock kind of Beatles song.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger.
And a brand new appreciation for the song Back in the USSR, which I never really liked as a Beatles song, but in the film, it's done as a really cool, like, rock song, which I guess it is, but I something about the way the main actor in the film, Himesh Patel, sings it is just really spoke out to me. So I really, really liked that.
Back in the US, back in the US, back in the USSR.
And also the song Obla-Dee, Obla-Da, Life Goes On, which is, I always felt like one of the more kind of weird, like almost nursery rhyme Beatles songs. Like a few songs that like literally just sounded like nursery rhymes or almost like songs that the Wiggles could perform at their concerts by the Beatles. Obla-Dee, Obla-Da certainly felt like one. Then they had Maxwell's Silver Hammer, which is about a guy who is murdering people with a silver hammer, but it's sung in this very fun, happy-go-lucky kids nursery rhyme kind of way.
Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer came down upon her head. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer made sure that she was dead.
Which always seemed really weird to me. And I think I've read that there was like a bit of a, toward the end of the Beatles, Lennon and McCartney would always like argue a lot and have tons of creative differences. But apparently John Lennon hated songs like Maxwell's Silver Hammer. No discredit to the song, though, at all. I mean, I think it's a really catchy song. And, like, don't get me wrong. Like, this song was part of Abbey Road, the album, which is probably considered one of the best albums ever recorded. That same album included classics like Come Together and Something and Oh Darling. But none better than this classic Beatles nursery rhyme-esque song, Octopus's Garden.
I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden, in the shade.
Which is another just song that sounds like it's potentially out of a Disney film, but it is very nursery rhymey. Ringo Starr wrote that one, and Ringo is commonly known as, like, well, he's often, like, teased and made fun of for being, like, the worst Beatle, which is, like, which seems so mean, but I guess it's all a bit of a joke. Family Guy did a really funny scene about Ringo in this flashback scene from Family Guy.
Great. This is a bigger waste of time than Ringo's songwriting.
Hey, guys, I wrote a song.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, good, Ringo.
Fantastic.
You know what? I'm going to put it right here, right on the refrigerator. That way we'll get to see it every day.
All right.
Yeah, I really like that. But yeah, Octopus's Garden was one of Ringo Starr's. I actually remember early when I first met Lewis Spears, who was, like I said, a guest on this podcast. He's like, he's so out of touch with, like, mainstream stuff sometimes. And I was like, name any Beatles song. And he goes, Under the Sea. Which, of course, is a song from The Little Mermaid. And then I said, do you mean Octopus's Garden? And he was like, oh, yeah, that one. Oh, God. And then the other weird nursery rhyme Beatles song, Yellow Submarine, which, again, like, it's fine, but it's just like, what is this song? And why is it on this? Like, why did the Beatles... I don't know. I just think it's weird.
We all live in a yellow submarine.
Let me know if there's any other, like, Beatles weird nursery rhyme Disney kind of songs. Yeah, some of the covers of the songs in this are fantastic, particularly the song I Wanna Hold Your Hand, which is an early Beatles song, which was covered by both the lead male and female actress, by both Himesh Patel and the lead female actress in the film, Lily James, who does a fantastic job, I thought. Going back to Obla D, Obla Da, there's also a song by the punk band The Offspring called Why Don't You Get a Job? And that song pretty explicitly uses the melody from Obla D, Obla Da. I'm not sure if it's a tribute or a sample or a homage or whatever you want to call it to not get done for copyright. But yeah, it is pretty indicative of Obla D, Obla Da. But I assume those guys were fans of the Beatles.
I won't pay, I won't.
And then, like, can we just pop those, like, a little bit of each song, like the melody or the instrumental or whatever you feel necessary, like side by side, just so we can compare them a bit?
Yeah, no worries, Mike. That's my specialty.
What's your specialty? Putting songs side by side in the edit to this podcast?
Yeah, I meant just more editing in general.
All right, we'll just do it. Don't make a big fuss about it. It's fucking your job. Jesus Christ.
Sorry, Mike. Well, here they are.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Editor Mike. You always do such a great job, man.
Thanks, Mike.
What is your favorite Beatles song? It's amazing because the Beatles, like, inspired so much of music. Like I said, some people now are just like, oh, the Beatles weren't that good. Like, and I get that. Like, some of their music is a little bit, like, simple, but I just think they were the first people in the world to be doing that. So they literally shaped, like, modern pop music. I think their music is still very listenable. It holds up. Songs like Twist and Shout are just, like, really genuinely good songs, especially, like, in that scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is a really good movie. Of course, the Simpsons episode with the B-sharps, Homer's Barbershop Quartet, featuring this classic song.
And a one, and a two, and a three.
Boom, boom, boom.
Baby, I'm born. How I'm adored. That sign on my car's window
is pretty heavily based on the Beatles. In fact, the late George Harrison appears in that episode.
Then came the greatest thrill of my life. Oh.
Hello, Homer. I'm George Harrison.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God! Where did you get that brownie?
Over there. There's a big pile of them.
Oh, man.
Wow, what a nice fella.
The performance on the rooftop of Moe's at the end is a reference to the Beatles, who actually performed on a rooftop. And at the end of that, John Lennon said this.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the Goodwill Hills. I hope we pass the audition.
And this is parodied pretty accurately at the end of the episode, Homer's Barbershop Quartet, where Homer says this after the performance.
I'd like to thank you on behalf of the group, and I hope we pass the audition.
And possibly my favourite parody in the episode, which is of the weird Beatles song Revolution 9, which is a little bit of this here.
Nine, number nine, number nine, number nine, number nine.
Barney Gumble, a member of the B-sharps, meets a Yoko Ono-like girlfriend, and they come up with a brand new song, which is this.
Barbershop is in danger of growing stale. I'm taking it to strange new places.
Number eight. Number eight. Number eight. Number eight.
Anyway, I thought the movie was great. I really like the Beatles. I'd love to know your favourite Beatles songs or your favourite Beatles covers songs, like people that have covered Beatles songs. If there's a really good cover you know of, I'd love to hear that too. But yeah. Guys, there is something on this podcast that we have not done for 2 weeks now, and I am just fucking ready to hear what's next in Harry Potter and the Boys.
Harry Potter and the Boys, a live reading by Radio Mike.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a what?
If you're new to the podcast, first of all, welcome. Contribute anytime to earn Mike points, which are your currency of the show. And join the radio family, the family of listeners of this podcast. Harry Potter and the Boys is a fan fiction of Harry Potter that I wrote when I was in year 7. We read generally a chapter or half a chapter a week, depending on how long it is. And we're currently up to chapter 13. I believe the last time we were reading this book, Ron Weasley, who is now a professor at Hogwarts, the Defense Against the Dark Fart slash Arts professor, was explaining three of the elemental spells, which are some really dangerous spells in the Harry Potter universe. It's basically about seven boys or six boys or a number of boys who go to Harry Potter, who go to Hogwarts. Harry is now the headmaster. The kids from the original books are now all professors. And it's a poorly written, self-referential book where the narrator tends to make quips at the characters, and people seem to really like that, and I'm starting to really like it too. So let's continue. Jump in anytime with questions, new people, if you're not really sure what's going on. Oh wait, it's a podcast. You can't fucking talk back. I'm just going to start. Chapter 13 of Harry Potter and the Boys, which is a sequence of ill-fated measures. Which seems like, I actually think, just so everyone knows as well, I haven't reread the book, so I'm reading it fresh. Like, I was in year 7 in 2007, so now it's, so this is like 12 years ago that I wrote this, and I haven't read it since then, so this is all fresh to me. But I think I do remember with this, on Microsoft Word, you can type in, you can do synonyms for words. So I typed in a series of unfortunate events, which is a book series for kids, and I just changed each word. So a sequence of ill-fated, sequence for series, unfortunate, ill-fated, and events meshes, apparently. So let's get going. The boys couldn't believe it. It was already the last week of the term. Time had flown by. They sat in the Gryffindor common room reminiscing about what had happened already. Then it says in brackets, that would make an awesome montage scene if this was ever to become a movie. Oh, God, narrator. The boys decided to go for a walk down to Hagrid's hut. As they walked around the grounds, they met Harold, the weird, ugly, stupid boy that they had met on the train. "Why, hello there," he said. Hi, said Michael, still noticing the strange birthmark on Harold's head that seemed to stick out more than anything. So Harold has a star-shaped birthmark on his forehead that hasn't yet been explained. Harold walked away and muttered something under his breath. I kind of feel bad for a lot of the characters in this book because a lot of the characters are fucking idiots. But then there's characters like Harold who genuinely seem to just want to be friends with the boys, but they don't let him be friends. Hi, Hagrid. The boys knocked on the door of Hagrid's hut. Hi, Hagrid, they all said. Goodbye, Hagrid replied, sticking up his rude finger and slamming the door in their faces. So they go all the way to Hagrid's hut and say, hi, Hagrid. And he just says goodbye and fucking puts his rude finger up and slams the door in the face. As soon as the door slammed, a piece of paper fell from the air. Lockie picked it up and read it. Then it says R, like the letter R. The first ill-fated measure. Hagrid flips you off and rejects you. So maybe, okay, so this is the first ill-fated measure. It starts with the letter R and it describes what happens. And also, Harold, it said that Harold walked away and muttered something under his breath. So maybe this is linked. They all looked at the note. What the heck is an ill-fated measure? Asked Luke. Sorry, I like, because I see the next line, obviously, before I say it. And the next line already looks really funny. Rob says, Luke, did you just say heck? Could you at least say fuck? This isn't some fucking baby book for babies. If we wanted to read a baby book, we'd go to the fucking baby shop, okay, Luke, you baby? Luke began to cry and run away. This isn't some fucking baby book for babies. So Rob acknowledges in the book that this is a book, but it's not a baby book. And what does the R mean? Asked Lockie, completely ignoring everything that had just happened. The boys walked down to the Gryffindor common room, but before they could enter, Mr. Charger, he's the mean, like, aggressive, Snape-like character, but he's a bit goofy. Mr. Charger appeared next to Harold, who seemed to be popping up a lot lately. So the book acknowledges that Harold hasn't been in many chapters lately, but now he's popping up a lot more. I just remembered, he said, looking at the boys. Okay, again, I'm reading the next line. I just remembered, Harold said, looking at the boys. Back in chapter 8 or something, you guys got detentions and you never served them. I don't know why. It could have been because the idiot author of this poorly written novel forgot about it and just remembered it now. Go get Derek Derrickson and meet me in the dungeons. Oh, I think that was Mr. Charger saying that because he did give them detentions in a class back. So Mr. Charger acknowledges that back in chapter 8, something happened and the author must have forgot. Another note fell from the sky. It read, oh, the second ill-fated measure. Sucker chode, you got detention. Oh my God. And then Rob said, okay, could that be true? Said Rob. What? Asked Tom. Could our life really just be a novel, like Mr. Charger said? Is there someone out there just writing our life? Is our author that lazy? Said Rob. So now Rob has become... Now the characters are very much becoming aware that their life... Like, Rob seems to be having an existential crisis where he's realizing that his life is a book. Rob, be quiet, said Simba, a character from a Disney movie called The Lion King. I guess that answers your question, replied Michael. So Sim, Rob asks if our life is just a book and is someone out there writing our life for us, and then Simba from The Lion King appears and tells him to be quiet. Oh, gotta love this book. God, I can't wait to see what happens next. Let's leave it there for now. Great chapter. Feels like something is brewing, but it always feels like something's brewing in this book, but nothing's ever like actually eventuating. That is just about all we have time for today. I just quickly wanted to say one thing, though. We used to have a guy that sort of worked on this podcast for a little while, Siggy Mike. I'm sure you guys remember him, Editor Mike.
Yeah, I do remember Siggy Mike. I remember him quite well.
Intern Mike, you remember him. Have you heard from him recently? Because the last, just to bring everyone to speed, the last we heard from Siggy Mike, he had had an affair with your wife, Marianne, Editor Mike, and they were going off to Bali for 3 weeks. Now, that was a long time ago. Certainly more than 3 weeks. Probably 5 or 6 weeks ago now, right?
Yeah, look, I've not spoken to Siggy Mike or Marianne. I haven't heard from him at all. I haven't heard from Marianne. I don't know what's happened. I haven't heard from them since I last saw him the day he left for Bali, which was, you know, on an episode just before after we recorded an episode of this podcast.
What about you, intern Mike? Have you heard from him?
I got a text from Siggy Mike like just before he went to Bali, and he just sent a text saying, "Hey man, do you have any weed? I want to buy some." And I was like, "Yeah, I've got heaps." So I went outside to Mum's garden and I just like picked out all the weeds, and I just like texted him saying, where do you want me to put them? And he said, just wrap it up in foil for me. So I just wrapped all these weeds in foil, and he gave me like $100, and then he just left and didn't really say anything. And that's like the last time I saw him. But I didn't even know he had an affair with my grandma, because Editor Mike's my grandpa, and I haven't seen grandma in ages, Editor Mike. What the fuck? Did she run off with Siggy Mike?
Yeah, she did. She did, which is obviously a bit of a shame. But so you haven't heard from grandma, have you?
No, I haven't heard from her at all. What the hell? I wonder where they are.
Yeah, I wonder where they are as well. I reckon next week we got to start the show getting Siggy Mike on the line. Like, we got to call him and just find out what's happened, because I'm actually kind of worried. And I know he did what he did, Editor Mike, but he's a friend of the show, and I just want to make sure he's okay. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, look, as much as I'm upset by what happened, I do want to make sure that everyone's okay, particularly Marianne, because I'll always love her, as I should, because she was my wife, and I'm very upset, but I'll always love her.
Cool. Well, let's do that next week. Also, intern Mike, I'm not sure you understood what he meant by weed, but anyway, that is about all we've got time for. Thank you so much for being here, Editor Mike, Intern Mike.
No worries,
yeah, thanks,
no
Mike.
Worries, mate.
We will be back next week at the same time in the same place. Well, not the same place for you. You could be in a completely different place. You could be halfway across the world. I don't know. Email us anytime, radiomikepod@gmail.com. Instagram, radio.mike. Twitter, radio. Twitter, it's Radio Mike. Tell your friends, rate the podcast 5 stars. Leave a review if you can. It just helps push the podcast up and like get more people to see it. I guess I just have to leave by saying that... Sorry, I just thought of that funny thing from the start of the podcast again. My name's Radio Mike, and this has been The Inside of My Mind. See you later, guys. Bye.